Freddie is post-match, post-game, I don't know, whatever, show, whatever you want to call it. I can't even think right now because I'm kind of annoyed. So here's my introduction. My name is Mike. That's Jose. That's Mark. Thanks for joining us tonight. Mark, you can tell I'm a little heated. I'm a little flustered right now. The Union lost 6-0 to Pachuca. I don't really have any words, but you are, again, as we mentioned, kind of an outsider looking in. So what are your objective thoughts here as the Union just got their ass handed to them?
I mean, it's definitely going to be a look in the mirror type approach. I think, you know, past couple of years, you make it pretty far in the competition. This year, you crash out in pretty spectacular fashion. I think a few of those goals toward the end are just like, I mean, they weren't making it a mockery, but it was kind of a mockery. Like, I mean, especially the last one. So, I mean, you just got to figure out how to regather and just analyze, like, are we doing everything that we need to do? I know they haven't had much time in the training sessions. And we talked about that in the last round, is with the congested schedule, you don't get much time to train with one another. I think, like, even back to the preseason, the continuity wasn't really there for me. And hopefully with this off their plate, maybe they can try to establish some of that connective style that, I mean, they're clearly, they got the individuals who can do all of that. I just definitely think this is a wake up call that they have to be able to start taking control of these games. In terms of, like, you can't just let a possession team walk all over you and then just pick you apart up at the front. Like, all you need is one guy, a Solomon Rondon, who has been there and done that with a team that's just, like, passing it around you like you're, like, mannequins, and you're just going to get torn apart 6-0. So you got these guys, hyper-technical, very athletic. They can pass. Now, training sessions involved, let's start to see it a little bit more. I know that's not the typical style from what I hear, but it's got to be there because, I mean, this isn't sustainable. Like, in one last thing before I give Jose some time here is 20 goals allowed for Pachuca. You haven't looked at the tape to figure out, how can we capitalize? They are literally giving you tape on 20 goals that they've allowed, and you can't figure out how to even get a dangerous chance, let alone a goal. Like 6-0, the 0 is a big problem. The 6 is obviously a big problem. So however you want to look at it, kind of a disaster going forward. Look in the mirror.
Well, listen, I mean, guys, I have been on Twitter for the last 40 minutes just kind of hearing people out. We've seen what Frank said about, you know, how DC felt getting embarrassed 6-0 a couple of years ago. I mean, a lot of people saying, I hate being the bridesmaid. I want to be the bride, right? They're sick of this constant performance from the Union. Lenny's speech is we're in trouble. People are calling for Curtin. People are calling for Tanner. I mean, the comments right now are at the highest point of just heated, upset, angry. But it's I don't care if we lost, right? If we lost 1-0, 2-1, whatever. But we saw this against Miami at home, and I put a poll up on Twitter just recently about that. We saw this again tonight. This team played scared. This team played with no heart. We've seen it a few times now where they just seem like they are just not prepared, which is terrifying. And, Mark, to your point, right, we knew Pachuca was going to score, right? We knew that ahead of time. But they were also going to give up goals. And the fact that we have had one really good chance in the last two games, and that came when Daniel Gazzag had the ball at the 6-yard line, whatever, and could have just hit into the net, and he chipped it over instead and missed, that's shockingly bad. And you're going to look at the formation that Curtin put out. Why is Bedoya starting? You know, why bring Brujo off the pitch? Was he hurt? Is that why he put Julian in at the half? There's so many questions that are being brought up again. And that just seems to be the same song and dance when it comes to Jim Curtin and the Union. And again, the final thing, the Eagles went out today and signed a lot of players, and they brought a lot of good talent into the football team. And we are just waiting as soccer fans saying, when is it our turn? When is Sugarman and when is ownership finally going to say it's time for us to go spend a couple million, 5 million, 10 million, bring in a difference maker. Because, again, Mark, to your point, we have good players. There are players on this team that have won Defender of the Year, who have been considered the best left back, best six in the league. We have Carranza, who's being sought out from other clubs across overseas. We have talent. But we don't have that one difference maker like Rondon tonight, who can go in there and just take over a game and completely change the complexion of the outcome. I mean, Jose, I'll shoot to you now, man. What, I know you're waiting on Jim Curtin press conference that we have. So what's your thoughts tonight?
Yeah, no, and if at any moment I jump off it, and I'll signal you with whatever way in terms of me going to the press conference. But no, what a disaster, man. I mentioned it, and it's almost, you know, crazy that it came down to this point. But, like, maybe I willed it into existence. A 3-0 loss, that's embarrassing enough. 6-0, where Mark, to your point of, you know, how embarrassing it got, dude, they're backheeling balls back to the next player to score the ball in. Like, fuck off. Like, that is just awful. I think the next step in terms of embarrassment would have been if triple digit players start getting into the game, which obviously did not happen, but I think Guillermo Almada knows better than to do that against an international foe. Maybe in the domestic league's a little bit different, a little bit more accepting in terms of thinking about it, about, you know, in terms of development. But man, what a disaster. This marks ultimately the Union's worst loss ever. On record in 15 years. And it's absolutely unfortunate. And I said it on Twitter, so I'm rehashing something I said. It's like 3 steps forward with this team in terms of shutting down Rondon, shutting down Idrissi, shutting down Rodriguez out on the right side, but then taking 10 steps back and letting 6 in away from home, right? And Kevin Kincaid, I got to give him credit. He's obviously covered this team far longer than you and I, certainly as a press reporter, as fans, that's, you know, can be questioned. But he brings up a good point. This is, I think, equal to or maybe right behind how poorly the Union played against messy Miami last year in terms of scared and just not willing to go after the game, never mind Jim Curtin's gymnastics of putting Chris Donovan up top. It is such a disaster, man. What a mess. And you know, some of the questions, I'll preview some of the questions with all of you that I'm going to try to ask Jim, at least one. Substitution, Martinez out. Was that tactical or was that an injury?
I don't hope it's injury, but if it's a tactical move, if it's a tactical move to take Martinez out, that's shockingly bad.
It is very bad, right? So, like, I don't know what that was all about. I want to also note that the initial PK, and I don't want to give Jim an out, but did that initial PK that early set the tone for the team the rest of the game? I think that's a question worth asking, and what his answer is, right?
Well, and ultimately, this last on Sunday, this team keeps giving up goals early. You cannot keep coming back. Jose, go back to you.
Ultimately, to your point, Mike, that you just made, defensively, 14 goals over 5 games. That is unacceptable for a team that used to send center backs and left backs to the MLS All-Star game. Yeah. And then finally, I would love to hear from Jim's mouth. And I respect the man. I truly do. I think he is genuinely a great coach, but tonight was not the night for him. What are his thoughts on this being not just only the worst loss in Union history, but I think by an MLS team in this competition?
It's not a conversation or a situation you want to find yourself in. And unfortunately, as I post on Twitter, the hot seat was already here for Curtin. The hot seat was here for Tanner entering this year because they ran it back again. And now after this performance, I mean, I don't care if Jim has a 2-year contract. I don't care if Tanner's here for a while, whatever. The fans are not going to put up with this for another year and a half, 2 years. And the comments keep flooding in, guys. I'm trying to keep up with it as best I can. But I do want to mention something. You mentioned Todd Lewis. I want to kind of say something that he posted on Twitter, too. There need to be serious questions asked about the Union center backs. All three of them have had so many terrible moments this season. Out of the three, Lowe has been the best early on, but he's had a nervy moments early on, too. It's shockingly bad because Curtin has praised these center backs over and over and over, and yet all three of them, maybe Elliot at least because he hasn't seen as many minutes as the other two, have just been
Yeah, and you know what, Mark? I don't know if you have seen this clip, Mark, but you know, in the preseason, and maybe that was the telling of the tale of what the season was going to be thus far. But that clip, Mike, again, against FC Cincinnati in the preseason of Glesnes, trying to head the ball back to Blake, fumbles the entire thing. Was it Bupenza who went in and scored? Then fast forward to Saprissa, an own goal from 40 yards out. What the hell was that? And then you continue to go to the next Saprissa game where he gives up the handball and some other shocking decisions. And fast forward to this game, man, I haven't even looked at Fop Mob to see some of these ratings and you know, stats, but I just can't fathom that there's anything salvageable out of this performance. I mean, the entire Saprissa line, the entire lineup above a 7.0, which is unbelievable for Fop Mob. Yeah. And again, I'm not a person who wants the stat line, and I'm also not a believer of just the eye test. I think there's a fine mix that needs to be made. But for an entire team to be rated that high, this was a telling of men amongst boys. And that is so difficult to watch. So difficult, especially when it's a team that, you know, taking my press hat off, a fan, someone who covers the team. So like on both sides, it is just unbelievably tough to watch.
So I want to say something that you mentioned, Jose, the eye test. And Mark, I know you and I talked for a few minutes briefly before we went live, and it's kind of in line with this comment. It says Gazza got paid and hasn't looked good. Now, again, I told you off air, Kai Wagner is considered one of the best left backs in Major League Soccer. And you said, from what I've seen so far in the little experience you've had this year, you would argue that it's not the case.
Because so, I've heard so many great things about him, but like,
yeah,
I mean, even during the Saprissa rounds, I was just like, man, like, you know, he's not getting forward as much. He's been an issue in defense. And it's like, I don't know what happened to the guy, like on the field, off the field, personality, like who knows? Like, you know, you got this influential figure on the team, and when he's not doing well, like, I don't know if it, like, rubs off on the rest of the guys. Like, the whole night, it just didn't look like there was any sort of fight. Like I don't know. Like, it's been a while since I've played, like, a competitive match, but I don't care if, like, I'm not saying we're going out there, like, getting chippy, but, you know.
I got to run. Continue.
Thanks.
Go
ahead, Mark.
Yeah, to get clowned 6-0 without like any sniff of a fight, that's like kind of brutal. I don't want to be an alarmist right now, but like I'm quickly looking back at, I mean, it's been a spoil of riches for in terms of results for the Union for, I mean, since like the past 10 years. I think there's only been a couple of years that have been like 9th and 7th, and then the rest are pretty firmly in the playoff spot. So it's like this year, it almost feels like a weird. I mean, I guess we're only a few games in. Clarify that.
It's still so early, and we're all so upset.
Like it just feels like when every other team is making a lot of good progress in terms of like the roster they're building and, you know, the progression they're doing, it's like Union's been at the top for so long lately that inevitably they're going to come down to earth a little bit. But and it's like kind of a scary thing that this could be the glimpse of the start of it. You know, because no bolstering of the squad, some of these guys are getting a little bit older and, you know, maybe like, I don't know. It's just not fresh for them. Like you see, like, drop off with Glesnes, who two-time All-Star, and some of these guys, like the comment Gazdag, like during the Saprissa thing, I thought that he was just kind of missing, and for a guy,
And that's the thing. Gosselin has been missing a couple times recently. And this isn't you're not the first one who says that, too. And people have been saying, well, if he's not scoring PKs, he's not really involved in the game. At this point, Vince says, I'm so angry at this point. I need 2 trophies to call the season a success. So that's the thing. The Union are not playing for Open Cup this year. Champions Cup's already gone. You're now focused on League's Cup. And
which is like not
in the really MLS season.
Expected. Yeah, like
things. No, and Leagues Cup, nobody really, really wants to. I mean, well, yeah, sure, it's a trophy, but we're not going to feel, you know, super proud that we won Leagues Cup because we just feel like it's not serious yet.
Yeah.
But one thing that we've heard from Curtin multiple times now is the word uncharacteristic, right? Anytime we've given up an early goal, anytime we've had a poor performance, anytime there's been a lot of turnovers, anytime the team has looked as they did tonight, he says, that was a bit of uncharacteristic performance from the Union. Now, you can say that a couple times, right? After 2022, you can say it once or twice, but we've heard the word uncharacteristic performance from the Union for the last 2.5 years. And it's, or maybe a year and a half, give or take. But it's getting to the point now where you have to stop saying it's uncharacteristic and just accept the fact that this is who you are.
Yeah.
You are going to make boneheaded plays.
It's a characteristic at this point. I think even early on, like, you know, I'm always kind of an optimist. And I think, like, just even like seeing some of the early goals that were given up, like, throughout the season, like, a lot of them are just weird freak things. Like, you can't, like, the, I don't know. You can't really blame anybody. And then it just keeps happening and happening. And then tonight is just an utter disaster. It's not only just like, it's not little mistakes here and there. It's just like, they just looked like a far superior, far inferior team.
That's the thing. Let me ask you a question about just from your knowledge on soccer, right? The Union have run it back now again, 3 years in a row, but yet they find themselves playing so out of like chemistry sometimes. Are you surprised when you look at this team? Does it look like a team that's been playing together for years? Because sometimes to me it does not. But then you see games like we saw against was it Chicago, and on the offensive end they're making chances, they're creating certain things. You're like, wow, this chemistry on the offensive end is great. And then you have these last three stretches of games where they can't get anything going. Or maybe is it just the congested schedule? I mean, think about how many games they've played so far already. But again, does that go to fitness? Does that go to the training? Are we not doing enough in practice? Yeah, I mean, what's your experience with that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I would definitely say, I mean, it's not, I mean, we've all seen it. If you watch enough soccer around the world, you've seen like the mountains and valleys of team performances. I think, you know, like I said, being at the top for so long, eventually unless you're Bayern Munich beating up on all the Bundesliga teams for the past 10 years, like eventually, you know, but even then, like I'm definitely not calling for Jim or anybody in the technical staff. I think that's a little bit like harsh. But at this point,
fair enough.
But like eventually, you know, it's not even, we've seen amazing coaches around the world, like go in and out of teams. Like how many times has Carlo Ancelotti like left a successful team, or any of the Bayern Munich coaches that have like come and gone over the years? Like, I think this is probably the best way to say it. A team that's like toward middle of the road, they make their way up toward the top, and it's just a bell curve. Eventually, they're going to have to come back down.
Sure,
and we'll have to like. It's just there's a new floor and a new ceiling for this team. The ceiling has been, we're right on the cusp of MLS, the trophies here. We're pushing in semifinals for Champions Cup, like the expectations are so high, and that new floor exists to where there's not much room. Like, go be a fan for like bottom dwellers across the league, like the Rapids right now. Like they had their time at one point, but now they're fighting to even like not come dead last. They're just trying to make playoffs. So like, you know, Philadelphia never haven't had to worry about that for a while. So there is this new like expectation of like, it's gotta be this and that or else everyone's gotta go. And that's not anything that's different than what we've seen with some of the most successful teams in any league. You know, the expectations are high, especially if you're right on the cusp. Like how many times did Arsene Wenger have Arsenal right there, and he just didn't deliver. And obviously he was getting old in age, but you know, he's just got to move on and have a fresh start.
Well, that's the thing, is the Union, I mean, if you want to be the pure optimist and have the silver lining, right, the Union can now focus solely on MLS season. And and we saw that in the 2022 year, we could focus on the MLS season, and we did well in that year. Obviously, we made it to the Cup. It's been the years with the CCC or CCL, whatever you want to call it, thrown into the mix that we've struggled, because we've just been haven't able to deal with the back and forth of everything. Now, Jose Nunez, again, I know he just left the show a few minutes ago, but he's currently listening to the Jim Curtin press conference, and Jim Curtin said, "This was not a good representation of the Union and MLS." Like, yeah, no kidding. it's kind of a bit of an interesting statement from Jim, but I don't know what else you can say after a performance like that.
I mean, really, all they can do is, like, you know, I'm assuming what they're saying in the locker room is just like, this is a pivot point now. Like, you either toughen the fuck up, like, excuse my language.
It's needed tonight. Go for it.
Well, like, you can't. Yeah, it's just, I mean, teams that have had kind of a slap to the face like this, you either bounce back from it and just use it as a chip on your shoulder the rest of the year. And again, they got smart enough guys. They got talented guys. They can certainly cause problems. Like, the thing about the MLS is no one is like an absolute world beater. So, like,
that's true.
There's no reason to, like, hit the panic button. It's, like, it's just tough. It's years and years of being – like, 2 years of being in this competition in depth. Short off season. I feel like they get shorter every year. And, like, I know everyone was like, oh, give up on the homegrowns. I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration, too. Like,
well, the homegrowns this year with Nathan, McGlynn, and Quinn have been three of our best players. I don't think it's the homegrowns. I think it's the fact that you're relying so much on the youth. That's a problem. It's like you're just saying, okay, we're not going to add to the team in terms of an outsider coming in. What we're going to do is just bank on Baribo being Baribo, which he hasn't even seen the field yet. He's played 151 minutes for his Union career so far. And you're just hoping that McGlynn, Nathan, Quinn, and I guess you can throw Bueno into the mix, just get better than they did last year. And so far they have. Yeah, sure, they have. But you also don't have a player, again, like Rondon or anybody else you can think of in MLS that is that difference maker. And now I'm going to go back to another – Jose's on the press conference right now. Jim said on the strategy and what went wrong, it's disappointing. Like I said, this wasn't us tonight. We had a plan in place. We conceded a PK, and the plan went out the window. The second half – Pachuca's quality took over and they embarrassed us. So I want to kind of restate what Jose just put on Twitter. This wasn't us tonight. Sure, yeah. Maybe getting blown out 6-0 isn't us tonight. But so far this year, you don't know how to get a lead and keep a lead. All you're good at is giving up the first goal. And again, the comments are coming in. I'll throw a couple of these. I know, Sean, you've been commenting great stuff. You know, worried about the ownership's only worried about making money with the complex and the youth terms and the youth leagues. No energy, no fight. It's so much stuff going on. Baribo not seeing the pitch is a crime. Again, the Union fans are used to seeing players being brought in like Baribo, like Davo. Like, you know, you can even think of Orovic years back, who just never saw the field for no reason. Now, we know Baribo might be having some sort of injury issue, but again, it's the same old thing for Philly. Any other thoughts though on that, Mark?
Yeah, it's just like an attitude. I think, I mean, anyone who watched that game, it just didn't really look like, again, they just, the one count was pretty spot on. There's just like no fight, no intensity. Like, I swear I see better intensity out of, you know, like the Wake Forest UNC game I watched like last week in spring season. Like flying around, like tough tackles, not illegal tackles, but like guys get stuck in and just kind of looked a little apathetic. A lot of, you know, I'm not asking guys to sprint around unnecessarily, but like, you know, just jogging around a little bit. They didn't really look like they were passionate at all. And I think, you know, anyone who's passionate about the club and the sport, they look for that, like, intensity. And you look to, again, like, obviously the young guys like have a lot of great energy, but I think having the leadership that can provide a controlled passion and fire and like get that group together to combine that passion with energy. And that just creates an attitude of control and like dominance. And I just don't think any of those buzzwords have been there. It's just kind of like, well, you know, if we get goals, that's great. But like, we aren't like going to be like the prick on the field who's just like, this is our game. You're going to have to freaking take it from us.
Yeah, and,
because like,
exactly.
Especially today where it is like a must win or and it just wasn't there. Like, I think, again, taking this performance, maybe in the rest of the season, they can always kind of look back at this as like, yeah, screw that night. That's fueling us for the rest of the season, but we'll have to see. I hope that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Jose, again, Jose joined us briefly. He was on the press conference around with Jim. As I post on the screen that you see below, Jose Martinez was asked to be sub out. He was sick. I don't know how much Kurt knew before the game, how he felt before the game. Obviously, all we know is what Jose Nunez rather just posted on Twitter. But again, more comments coming in. Kyle says it's the same old kick and run play style. I see all around the league teams tiki taka down the field. It's got rec league style play right now. Vince, you know, again, venting his frustration. Give us anything at this point to make us feel better than what we saw. But to Sean's point again, you know, what's going to happen once you have Olympics and Euros and Copa America? There are a lot of competitions happening this year that we knew about already. Yeah. And we got rid of Perea. We got rid of Torres. You know, we got rid of some of our depth that we had.
Yeah.
And again, we brought back Kai. We brought back Alejandro, who's been good to us off the bench. But again, he's just a bench piece. Sure, you brought in Marcus Anderson, who's looked solid, but he's also just a kid. That is your third or fourth striker behind Donovan and behind Baribo. It's not really somebody we know is going to put up 10 to 15 goals a year. So again, it is just a lot of what if with this Union club right now? What if we actually tried to spend some money? What if we, you know, oh wait, Jose's actually back right now to come join us for the press conference. Jose, perfect timing. I was just about to segue into the next thing. So go ahead. Anything else from the press conference that you saw?
Well, Jose Martinez asked to be substituted. At least that's what Jim said. I'm going to have to rewatch that clip. I recorded the whole thing on my own hard drive, though there is an annoyingly loud humming. So I'm not sure if I can really use it for video. I like to share nice, clean audio. And typically I wouldn't share something like that. But man, this press conference, you can tell that Jim is bothered. You can tell that Jim is upset. And this is my opinion. Let me preface it that way. But it's very obvious when Jim Curtin goes ahead and says that, you know, the Pachuca embarrassed us. You know, that's the key phrase. Pachuca embarrassed us. They just really took us to task. And then, you know, the Spanish press and whoever the interpreter is, kudos to him for trying. Having lived and my mom's an interpreter for the FBI, I know how that work is done. They need to find someone better. Because the job that this man did was not great, I must admit. but it's interesting. A lot of questions about how's the team feeling. How you know, the one question that was very telling was, you know, how is the team feeling? Any injuries, etc. And Jim's quick little quip was, to be honest, the only injury is to Pride.
Oh my god!
Fucking fitting, right?
Oh.
Fitting for how embarrassing this performance was. This is, I don't think people realize. And if you're one of the 93 people watching this, a thank you for listening to our rambling.
That's what happens when you bring Mark. That's it. He just brings in the Mark. People.
It's the Kelkin Sport effect. But if you watch this game, you genuinely witness history in two fronts. The worst ever MLS performance in CONCACAF Champions Cup League history. Never mind, in 15 years of Philadelphia Union soccer, the worst ever loss. So both of those stains are on Jim's shirt, and it is disappointing. You know, what else can we say? The rest of the press conference, you know, was fine. You know, I didn't really get much out of it. I was honestly just really interested on the Jose Martinez piece because I think bringing him out when you can tell that the midfield is already a mess – just It just doesn't make sense, but now it makes sense. If he was sick, again, what are we doing? Why isn't Jesus Bueno in there? Didn't he just sign a new contract? Why isn't he going in and shifting to the six, right? So why are we putting a guy who maybe has the fucking flu?
Well,
you know, like, I'm so sorry. Like, this is, he's not Kobe Bryant. He's not going to give us the flu game, right? Like, you know, this is, it just doesn't make sense, man.
You know what's funny, Jose, is that, like, you said this a couple minutes ago before you signed off, and we've said it before on the show. Like, we're press, right? We're media, independent reporters. We are also fans first, and you are upset. I'm upset. Jimmy King right now, if you guys don't follow Jimmy King on Twitter for Philly Sports Network, he's just going off on everybody, and he's also an independent. So it's one of those losses that it turns you back into a fan, right? It turns you back into, like, why we got into this to begin with. Because we love the game of soccer. We love rooting for our favorite team. And when you see something so frustrating, it's almost too hard to control that at this point. But to your point about Martinez and Bueno, I would have loved to see Bueno the six. And if Martinez isn't feeling well, bring him as a sub at the end of the game. Let him bring his energy in for half an hour, 25 minutes, whatever it is. We know he can attack offensively. Yeah. We've seen it been done before. We've all asked to put him on the right side at least once. Give it a shot. I mean, you put Bueno the six, you put Quinn on the right, where Quinn has been thriving with Nathan Harrell so far. You let Marcus Anderson cause some mayhem up top if Julian can't play a full match. And again, it's as Jimmy King says, Gazdag vanishes. He's supposed to be our 10, our difference maker, but he disappears sometimes. And again, the people are chiming in again. You know, did Ty sleep with Curtin's wife? This is madness.
All right, let's not put those up. I appreciate
you get the frustration. Jokes. Well, the jokes are Mike, just. But that's how our mood is right now. But go ahead, Mark.
Mike, you're spot on. I think if you knew the guy was sick, in a game like this, the worst thing you can do is let it slip away from you, and that's exactly what happened. Like, this was the type of game that you just want to, like, see out until the last 15 minutes and then start taking your chances. Like, the Union were in the power seat. Like, they didn't have to do really anything. All they needed to do was just get, like, a late goal who the heck knows. Just take it to PKs. Getting blown out 6-0. I mean, that's, like, not even an option. But, like, if a guy's sick,
I'll be right back. Hold on.
If you can have Bueno start, can try to control the game, at least like get in half 0-0, or, you know, give away a bad PK, not that big of a deal. 1-0. Just control the game as long as you can, and then we start like hammering at like trying to get that goal. Because that's all that mattered. But, you know, when it started getting 2-0 at half, and then it just snowballs from there because we just never had any chances. But, like, it should have been a reverse tactic. You put the sick guy in to help ice the game. Be like, hey, I know you're sick, but just hang in there 20 minutes. Let's ice this game. You're in there to bog down the midfield and stifle any sort of creativity they have coming out of there. And that's hopefully being at 1-1 or 1-0 winning to go on to the next round, because it's that old survive and advance thing that we heard from the Saprissa thing. And it's just like, knowing you're sick should have been probably a reverse tactic, because you can't let a game like this get away from you.
Today's show sponsored by Pinhook. Okay, straight out of
congratulations, cheers,
Kentucky. Yeah.
Today I'm happy that I'm drinking out of my Eagles cup and not my Union cup, because go Birds. I think what's just, I don't even know anyone I'm saying. I lost my train of thought when you said that, Jose. So actually, I'll go to you first, because I had a point and now it's slipped.
I am so sorry. Listen, and Mike, I'm so glad. Whether it was you or someone else digging through my Twitter, and I frankly, I post so much and try to put out so much information that maybe I'm to a flaw or whatever, but pinpointing that, wow, what a good email. I just got a nice email. Great. Pinpointing that audio bit of Andre Blake, you know, being very telling about how he feels about how this franchise, how this team, obviously not successfully, though maybe the jury's still out waiting for MLS and Leagues Cup to happen. Obviously the union organization not involved in Leagues Cup, but in terms of adding enough pieces to the repertoire, Blake being very open, time will tell. And listen, we just watched 90 minutes of the worst possible union soccer ever. If I was able to ask Andre Blake, and God, I would love to ask Andre Blake, Andre, did the time just tell us what the union did this offseason? I think he would probably nod yes. this is so telling. And Mike, give me just one more second.
Yeah, go ahead.
If the union is so strapped that they have to put a sick Jose Martinez in to play against Pachuca, Eric Sanchez, an international Mexican player who has won a gold cup and has 21 appearances for the Mexican national team, that's how bad things are. It is so telling of where this team is, and it's so embarrassing. Again, I talk so much about this team to my friends, to my family, etc., and to go now to, and again, this is maybe me taking my press hat off for a second, but like, to go and explain how the hell did your favorite team that you cover and pour your soul into in terms of reporting, may I maybe pat myself in a very neutral way, how do you go and like try to put a smile on it? I think of that meme, right, of that gif of like the guy painting his face crying like a clown. that's gonna be me for the next 2 weeks trying to explain how the union crashed out of the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
So Frank brings up a point here. Does this spur an impulsive move by management? And maybe not impulsive, I guess, or maybe the question is when. Yeah, well, that's true. I think the question is, Frank, when is enough enough? Like, when have we seen what everybody else is doing and what we're not doing and say, you know what is, I mean, maybe this is the final straw and Sugarman finally opens his book up and we finally bring in somebody. I don't know, but I don't know how much lower you can get to this at this point, because even losing MLS Cup, which is awful and horrible and like the worst moment of my life, at least you were there competing for a title and you knew the team was good enough to win. We were good enough to win that game. This team is not good enough to win anything at this point. I mean, Sean's saying, might as well bring up just Quinn's little brother, Kaven, and just see what he can do. Listen, I mean, at least it'd be exciting content for us to discuss. I'm not opposed to it. But again, it's
a lot of good comments so far.
Sean's been on point. I appreciate you, Sean. Thank you for showing some kudos here. Yeah, no, I mean, he even mentioned
Danny or Sean?
Sean Hughes.
Yeah.
Yeah, good dude.
But again, yeah. it's been a lot of frustration, Jose. I don't blame you. I feel the same way. When is enough enough? Because at this point, the fans are more upset than I can remember. Somebody had mentioned on Twitter as well, this is the kind of performance that we saw at Charlotte the year we went to MLS Cup, when we should have won that game or drawn that game to get us the supporter shields, to get us home field advantage for the MLS Cup, and we failed to do so. Again, a big moment when we had a chance to do something and we failed. And again, Jose, to what you said in the halftime show, this was basically a 1-0 lead for the Union entering this game. We just needed to be 1-1 and we advance. That's it. And that goes back to your point, Mark. All we needed to do was to keep it a close game, and you had it right there in your hands and you blew it. Any last thoughts on those, Mark? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just forcing the panic mode on them. Like, the longer it goes 0-0, the more they'd panic. But yeah, continue. That was just a short comment to add.
No, that's fine. I mean, listen, it's 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night at this point. Mark, again, thanks for joining us on this historically bad night for the Union. I'm sorry, our team is on the downfall right now.
You have one more point. Yeah, I got a quick point.
Why don't you plug in your stuff too, so everybody can find you as well.
Before all of the Union fans just like completely jump off the cliff or the bridge or whatever. It's like, you know, it's already mid-March, and this is kind of the crazy thing. Like, summer transfer window will be here, but more importantly, if you're questioning whether or not, you know, ownership will splash any cash, you also got to remember that, like, tons of guys' contracts are ending, and like, there's going to be so many big names available. Like, I already have like a few highlighted because, like, of my personal favorites. Like there's a pages of guys who are valued over 3 million that you can get for free. And so as long as like, and I don't know, I have faith in the scouting group with the union. I think I'm not worried about them like finding guys. It's just like how aggressive they can be with IDing some of the upcoming free agents as quickly as they can, and just trying to be like with the agent in getting these pre-contracts drawn up, because this is a team that I feel like if they can survive through May and just like leave themselves right on the doorstep of the playoffs, bring in a few guys like out of free agency. There's nothing that makes me think that that's not possible. And I'm actually it's kind of crazy that MLS teams, I feel like, don't do it as much. But obviously with all these leagues around the world that are giving out big time contracts for average players just because of their name, but that's beside the point. I don't know. I think if the union can just get through the rest of this month into May, start getting some of the guys who their contracts end in May, especially South America because of the Clausura ending, and then Europe ends. There will be options. It's just how ambitious, just even from a contract perspective. Because, like, again, these guys, you don't have to spend millions on the transfer fee. It's just getting the right guy signed on the paper.
Well, that's the thing. The right guy's been tough. And to Kyle's question, can a 14-year-old player be on the first team? We've seen 14, 15-year-old players be on the MLS club. Yeah, Freddie Adu, yeah, is one of them. So yes, and we actually have a special guest join us tonight.
Well,
Mark,
Mike,
let me
start off by saying, Mike, I know you wanted to hop off, but we have a very interested crowd, 109 people watching right now, maybe. So if you gotta go, man, you gotta go.
We got the one and only Todd Lewis from the Free Kick. Surprise! There we go. The show continues. So Todd, I'll shoot to you. Just let it out, man. What's on your mind tonight?
You know, there's a lot of thoughts, a lot of emotion, and a lot of crazy takes on social media. And so it's hard not to, like, get wrapped up in how everybody's feeling. I think for me, like, the biggest takeaway, and I've said this on my show a couple times, is the center back play has been terrific. I mean, horrific this season. Not terrific. It's been the opposite. Jacob Glesnes has had so many terrible
terrifically
moments
this
season. Yeah, there you go. Jacob Glesnes has been terrible all season long. Jack Elliott hasn't looked the same since 2022. Damian Lowe has looked the best out of those three, but when you rely on Damian Lowe to be your best center back, I mean, there's a reason why Miami traded him a couple seasons ago. If anything, Damian Lowe's a third choice center back. He shouldn't be your best center back. And he's even had nervy moments. I mean, we saw it tonight on one of the second goal, I believe it was, that Rondon scored. He completely backed away from him. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Jim Curtin's talked about the spacing with the center backs, that, oh, this is something that we can correct. And we're six games in and we haven't seen it corrected yet. And here's another thing. The Union continue to concede goals in the first half. Jim Curtin said it a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, this is something that shouldn't continue. Well, it is still continuing. And I feel like we're just going insane. It's the definition of insanity. The Union corrected it last year. 2021, I want to say it was. 2022, in the beginning, the Union were conceding a lot of early goals. And now it's back. And what's the blame? It's a lot of the same players from those squads back in 2021, 2022. And when you run it back, what did you expect to happen after you ran it back last year and you didn't even get close? I mean, I feel like I'm going crazy. Like, the time to win MLS Cup was in 2022. That was the golden opportunity. The Union blew it. They decided to run it back next year. All right, fine, let's run it back. And then they run it back again. And Jose talked to Andre Blake last Tuesday, I believe it was, after the Pachuca game, asking him, you know, is it pretty telling that the Union haven't invested more in depth. And you saw that tonight, where this team just lacks depth.
So, I mean, I would love to shoot to Jose and to Mark, but we have another special guest or guests. Oh, man. We have Kyle and Jillian. Kyle and Jillian from the one team we agree on.
Jillian
happy hour.
Jillian DeFar.
So Kyle and Jillian from the.
Oh, he is there. I was going to say Jillian DeFar better half.
I'm here.
We're both here.
The ghosting like the Union's defense.
Well, hello guys. How you doing?
We're okay.
We're okay.
The cats too. It's perfect.
Yeah, Oscar's coming up to.
So how are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, not good.
No, this is the first time, and I put this in the group chat, like, Jim looked defeated. Like, he really looked defeated, the team looked defeated, and there's a lot of questions moving forward. I mean, how are the Union going to respond? That's my question.
Yeah. They got to have a good showing on Saturday.
I don't know.
Off of this.
Well,
what's the thing? Saturday has to be the game that you.
Yeah. What I was going to say, Mike, maybe the connection was not good on my end. My bad. But that's so tough, Kyle and Jillian, because Saturday, you don't know who's around. You have these international matches where players are going to be starting to come and go, with Daniel Gastad going with Hungary to play against Turkey and Kosovo. And then you have I don't know what happens with the U23. I heard some stuff tonight that I can't share. So some bodies, I know that players from the Union will be leaving for the Olympic matches on the 22nd and the 25th. So you have them moving. I'm going to go ahead and assume that Jamaica is going to call up Blake and Lowe. Are they going to be around for this Saturday? Do they go after the match? Like, I'm so intrigued onto, oh, Mike left. I'm so sorry, Mike.
No,
I feel bad.
No, Jose, you're spot on, because, you know, we were talking the other day, Portland looked thin, and now we got the other call-ups. I mean, Austin, Portland, even Minnesota. I mean, what's this all going to look like? I mean, God forbid we got injuries. I mean, we saw tonight.
Yeah.
The depth's not there like we hoped.
Yeah, and that's the difficult part, right? And Mark, maybe I'll shoot this over to you, but as you know, someone who is from the outside looking in, that the rest of us who are in this conversation right now are so far into the bubble that is the Philadelphia Union. When you look at the starting 11 today and you think Andre Blake's going to be gone, potentially, not confirmed, though I have a good feeling that him and Lowe would be representing Jamaica to play against the U.S. and then the winner or loser, depending on how that all goes, in Dallas. And then you have Daniel Gastak leaving, and then you have some young Americans also leaving. Where does this team go? Especially when, again, this is the team that had to put out a sick Jose Martinez into a Pachuca game, a must-win game.
And especially when you let, like, Craig go on loan, and which is fair. Like, I mean, a lot of teams have to deal with this type of stuff. It's like you can't just stow people away front or away on the bench, like, just waiting for players to depart. I mean, Todd and Jillian and Kyle all kind of, like, collectively said, like, I mean, where does the team go from here? And also, if you've been with the same roster for so long, like, every top performing team still adds pieces, because there just has to be, like, an evolution to your game or your style. Like, Manchester City's had some of the best teams we've ever seen. And they still add pieces every offseason or every transfer window. And that's just kind of where things are getting, I feel like, a little stale. Success, been there for so long. With the success comes a bunch of guys who are on the cusp of a first team that now you have to be like, oh, wait, sorry, well, we got to let you go on loan, because it's not fair to you guys to just be sitting here waiting for your opportunity. But now, like, moments like this happen where added depth is important, with, like, everyone leaving And it's just a tricky situation. And unfortunately, some of the best teams are the ones that are going to have to deal with it. Because obviously, not every team in the MLS is going to have international like level players. So tough. But if they can, I don't know, they could still flip through the free agent pool. I know that there's plenty still out there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Mark, right? The union, the Todd, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it April 1st when the transfer window's closed for MLS?
Man, throw me. You got to come back to me on that, but sometime in April.
It's sometime in April, so the union have a lot of time to figure out this roster. Obviously, LaFleur out. We saw the departures of Joaquin Torres out to Universidad Católica on Chile. Then you have Brendan Craig out on loan, no recall option. I don't know about Joaquin Torres.
April 23rd.
Joaquin Torres out to Chile. I don't know if there's a callback option. Brendan Craig, I know from some research and conversations that I don't, there's not a callback option for him, is my understanding. Happy to be corrected. There has to be some movement here. And listen, the commentator during the game mentioned it. You know, I guess he talked to the owner of Pachuca, and I thought for a second about tweeting. So does Jay Sugarman own Pachuca as well? Because I think he even said, you know, the Pachuca owner said that he wasn't going to spend on money, but rather, you know, develop youth for the next coming years. I'm thinking, you know, almost like that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie where he's like, that's like, you know, like pointing at the TV. I felt like that was like that moment for me in terms of like hearing that out loud. But it's so interesting, Mark, that you mentioned about all of these free agents or moving pieces and potentially adding more, but you can't help but to feel that this is not a team that does that. This is not a team that goes ahead and brings those additions midseason. And maybe I'm throwing it to you, Jillian and Kyle, to continue the conversation here. What happens on Saturday? Obviously, the union traveling away from home into a different time zone once again. Like, what are we going to see out of this union team? And especially with, I'm eager for the press conference on Friday. Who is still around, right? I muted you guys on purpose because there's a little bit of an echo, so I hope you didn't mind.
No, that's fine. Is there still an echo?
Not anymore. Go on.
Okay. I think what they need to do is come out and basically make a statement. You've got to just bounce back from that and come out, you know, angry, come out with a chip on your shoulder. Like, that is not who we are. And, you know, just you got to bounce back, plain and simple.
I mean, like I said, I tweeted out. Like, this is a turning point for Jim and the union. I mean, where do we go from here? I mean, I've had teams that underperformed. I get it. But at the same time, like, yeah, we need a little bit more in Austin. I hope. But if we go flat, then I got some concerns. I mean, legitimately concerns. If we fall flat and let's say we lose that game, we got concerns. That's
so. I would argue that the concerns are already here. Yeah, I don't know I if agree. It was. Yeah, I don't know if the conversation was. And maybe I didn't get a chance to comment at the time, but like the draw this year was so ever in the favor of the union in terms of looking at the left side of the draw versus the right side, where if the union had somehow not gotten embarrassed and hopped over Pachuca in terms of a 1-0 win tonight rather than a 6-0 loss, you go against a team from Suriname or Costa Rica.
And you're either playing Club America or Chivas in the semifinals.
And that's that. I would think that union fans would be far better with losing in the semifinals than losing in the quarterfinals.
Agreed. But I mean, it's not
or the to round
take anything whatever, away from Pachuca. I mean, Pachuca is a respectable team. I think what they were up there in the top three highest goal scorers in Liga MX. They won the league last year. I mean, it's not like they were a slouch team.
No, by no means. And that's not what I'm alluding to, Todd. And I appreciate you keeping me in check here. Pachuca did exactly what they were supposed to. If anything, good on them for taking advantage of I don't even know how to describe this Union team today, right? In terms of I can use the word embarrassing Union team.
I mean, Jim said it. I mean, he said that, you know, their pride is gone.
Yeah, I just don't know where this team goes from here. And again, I can't stress enough, and this is my personal preference thoroughly coming through, but gosh, man, like this was the competition that I really wanted the Union to win. This is the competition that if an MLS team won, which didn't happen last year, wasn't it Leon who won it last year?
And then Seattle won it 2 years ago.
Yeah. That would bring just so much pride to the MLS to have this competition be won by an MLS team. And unfortunately, just it wasn't meant to be. So it's very, very tough to bow out. Never mind bow out as bad as we did.
Can I bring up a question to you guys? I saw somebody mention this on Twitter, and I think it is pretty telling, right? Is where not to make an excuse for the Union, but MLS clubs are a little bit hindered with the roster rules compared to Liga MX. And not to say, I mean, the Union 100% should have spent more money, brought more players in to get better depth, but it's a night and day difference, I think, when you look at Liga MX teams and MLS teams. And Jim Curtin was asked after tonight's loss, he said, you know, is the gap closing between these two sides? And he said, no, I can't say the gap's closing after we just got blown out 6-0, but you know, you look at it. I mean, it happens year in year. MLS teams usually are disappointing against Liga MX teams. And I think part of that is because of the roster rules that hinders these MLS teams. One of you guys want to pick that up. It's fine. I mean, is that crazy to say that?
Why don't we go with Mark? Mark, what do you think about that? And then we can shoot it over to Jillian.
Yeah, I mean, I'd see them as pretty equal in terms of, like, I mean, from the, like, average fan perspective, I'd say, like, the MLS is probably ahead in terms of, like, attracting better stars. And I'm not even talking about, like, Messi or anybody like that. I just think, like, I mean, half the guys that come from South America could easily just go to Liga MX, but they don't, like, they would rather come here. And I have guys from Costa Rica that, and there's like plenty of transfers that go in between Costa Rica and the second of it, or the Expansión in Liga MX, that would prefer to play in USL teams that message me and like ask to see if like I can help them out in any way. So the attraction is definitely there for the American based sides. I just think like it's just tough going up against, like, I guess if fans want maybe an equal comparison with an MLS club right now, I'd say DC United feels like a Pachuca. Like, you have a Benteke, you have a Rondon, that center focal point that it's just like, force these dudes to defend him, put the ball in the box, and he's gonna score if you give them enough chances. It's like, not every team kind of has that. Like, I mean, there's plenty of Liga MX teams that would just get blown out just as well as any MLS team. Like, a couple years ago, the Rapids were getting beat by Comunicaciones from Guatemala. And, you know, the same scouts in that blown. But some of the same people in their office would say, oh, Guatemala League, that's crap. Like, we never signed anybody from there. Like, a team that just beat you, though. So, like, there's always a debate on, like, you know, what the talent looks like and where it translates from league to league. Like, and, I mean, obviously, Vasquez is doing pretty well for Monterrey and Chivas for Cowell, it's not as like of a spark right there. I'm sure he'll be fine eventually, but yeah, I just view him as pretty equal. I think that's a long story short, but I think a lot of teams throughout the region I mean, Robin Hood, probably not on the radar quite yet.
Yeah.
Fair enough, but yeah. I think the whole thing, and you see it in the international play too, like how the U.S. can get beat up on by Trinidad and Tobago. So, like, everybody's close. It just depends on the night and I don't know. Tactics definitely mean a lot, and I think a lot of times it gets overshadowed by the fans, like, looking at the team itself, and mm-hmm. it's how they train. It's how, you know, their match day tactics are, their adaptability within the games. And yeah, there's so many factors, but talent wise, roster rules, I think we're on par, if not maybe a little bit ahead.
Well, let's go ahead and send it over to Kyle and Jillian, a couple who know everything, just about everything about trottling. And the Union got trottled tonight.
Yeah, not good. It's not good to be on the other end of that. I said to Kyle, like, so this is what DC felt like when we played them and put like 6 and 7 up on them. Just demoralizing.
Stop. But you're right. I mean, you're always right. Let's be honest.
I am. Good response.
No, it was a bad performance. Do I think Liga MX is better than MLS? I still do, but the gap is closing. And I think eventually MLS will overtake Liga MX, maybe. But tonight was not a good performance for MLS. Not at all.
It's a passion thing, too. I think that the MLS across the board just isn't fiery enough. Like, playing in front of the Liga MX teams, crowds are just – they're insanely passionate. And, like, I asked earlier one of my buddies, because we were talking about how Next Pro is compared to USL, and it's just – these guys, like – it just shows the level of intensity that maybe the MLS teams don't have. Like, we've all seen some chippy competitive MLS games, but like, you gotta have some toughness. Like, even driving around in Mexico, like, I've driven in Mexico City versus the US, you gotta have like a confidence and an attitude to even just drive around the streets, let alone play there. And, you know, until we play with a little bit more intensity than we do, it'll be hard. Like, all these games are going to be tough.
Yeah, you brought up a good point about tactics earlier. I think we saw so many times the Union try to play out of the back and then the counter press by Pachuca. It was right there to just turn them over in their own half. And how many times have we seen the Union... You know, that's how the Union typically like to play. They like to counter press and turn teams over inside their own half, and then the Union are there to try to put the ball in the back of the net. And Pachuca uses the Union's tactic against them. And somebody said that, you know, now we know how DC United feels after losing 6-0, 7-0 to the Union the last couple seasons. And yeah, it's true. I mean, like, tonight's Pachuca performance remind me a lot of the 2022 Union. I mean, this is exactly how the Union played. They want to turn you over inside your own half. They're just getting shot after shot after shot. And teams have figured out how to beat the Union, I think, the last couple of years. And I think you're seeing a lot of tired legs. Stu Holden actually said it on the Fox broadcast after the game that, you know, this squad the last 2 years has looked tired. And I agree 100%. And that's what happens when you play a high press system where you're just running these guys into the ground. And I use the example, whether I think it was with Jose on this podcast or on my podcast, you know, Liverpool had to go out and replace their squad because those guys were just ran into the ground. And I think you're seeing some of that with Union right now. And again, I brought it up when I joined. You know, the center back play has just been terrific. They get turned way too easily. They're 2-3 steps behind the ball. And that's not a recipe for success. Jim Curtin preaches, you know, we're a team that's built on defense, but through 6 games this season, 14 goals conceded, it's not a team that's built on defense at all.
Yeah, this is a team that's just – again, a far cry from, and I see Mike. Mike, are you here? I don't know if you're actually here or not. You might be just working out and listening and tap something. But this is a team that, Todd, not too long ago, man, this team was sending defenders to the MLS All-Star game, right? Like sending Glesnes and was it Elliott that one year? It was like a pairing or maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you had an argument in 2022 for a defender of the year. Was it Jack Elliott? Was it Jacob Glesnes? Was it Kai Wagner? And Jacob Glesnes winds up winning MLS Defender of the Year. And I believe it came down between him and Kai Wagner. And you could have made the argument that Jack Elliott should have been over Glesnes, but I think you could only have two nominees. I believe that's what the quotas were for the MLS MVP awards, Defender of the Year awards, all that jazz. But I mean, those two center backs played fantastic in 2022, but we saw the regression last year. And now this year, I think we've seen an even bigger regression. And for a team that wants to play defense, defend first, it's like you guys are conceding 7 goals, I think it is now, in the first half in 6 games, which is not like a Union team we've seen. And maybe it's tactics that have to change, maybe a formation change from the Union. I mean, I know we saw a little bit of a formation change tonight, a 4-3-2-1 Christmas tree formation, and it worked 5-2 against Pachuca. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Union are just trying so many different things. And yeah, I don't know. And maybe part of it is, too, you know, you asked a question, Jose, with Jose Martinez having to leave because he's sick. When you lose a key figure that's protecting that back line and Jose Martinez, I think that can't be discredited, too, for what we saw in the second half by the Union. You're throwing Ale Bedoya to play as a lone six, which probably isn't the smartest thing. Why they didn't bring in Bueno, I'm not quite sure. But that was a big piece to miss. And giving up that second goal right before halftime, I mean, that deflates all the air. But losing Jose Martinez was a huge blow for this team.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, maybe as we close out here, this hour-long show that Mark, you and Mike and I sort of envision being all of 10-15 minutes, and obviously it grew as growingly disappointing as this loss got. I don't know where this team goes from here, right? It's and you guys can, you know, correct me, but I don't know that it's overreacting. This is a loss that in Europe would get your manager sacked.
100%. Obviously,
Jim Curtin maybe has a little bit more. But all right, Mark. All right, simmer down. And most teams, this type of loss in Mexico, it would certainly get your manager sacked. I'll tell you that. And same in South America, a 6-0 loss in an elimination game on the away leg after being 0-0 would probably get your manager off the seat. So, Frank, thank you. We did sign a defender from Bolivia, Jamir Verdesio, who is going to be, anytime I get to say his name, I'm going to say it, but probably a YouTube piece for the rest of his life with the team. As we close out here, maybe some final thoughts.
Mark Aslam about managers getting sacked.
Yeah. Mark, any closing thoughts before we sign off for the night?
I'll tap a thing that you said, Todd, is, you know, when you have the same roster for quite a while, it's, you know, teams, they'll eventually figure you out. And if you play enough against some guys and the system doesn't change, you just get figured out. And, you know, it's been a rocky start. I mean, this is what, the first loss of the season. Granted, it's in spectacular fashion, but I mean, I don't think we should be calling for Jim yet. Like,
oh, please don't think that's what I'm doing. All I'm saying
I'm just saying
some fans are on Twitter are though, 100%.
Yeah,
but Twitter also is a very much sure. A vocal minority. Let's just be clear about that.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
It's like, I don't know, like I would say the big takeaways are mentality going forward within the team. Like, they got to start showing like just some badass type of attitude to them. Like, you know, they are good players. So start showing teams like, we're not, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't fuck with us. we'll like dismantle you the way we always have. We're not done yet. And, you know, some teams use games like this as their bulletin board material of like, yeah, let's, it's a humbling moment. Been at the top for quite a while. One game, it snowballs. Like sometimes, like, yeah, if they went into half 1-0, well, down 1-0, it like could have been easily different. It's just when it, the game starts, we've seen it all over the world. Like, God, Man United gets their butts kicked. I mean, happily, but, but it's just like when the game starts getting away from you, you're trying to get desperate a little bit. It starts to get more end to end. You start giving up more cheap goals. It just, you're just waiting for the clock to be 90 minutes and you're done. And that's just kind of how it felt. So yeah, tough. I mean, any other sport, people wouldn't really think that much into it. I mean, well, and then last thing is just like been kind of scrolling through some of the free agents. It's, or potential loan deals and stuff. But yeah, there's just, they just need like some of those real workhorses. And I think, well, like,
here you go, Mark. Guys, Mark, why don't we go ahead and have you, here's an idea. Mark, let's have you write an article for AAT Sports on who the union could sign. Let's make that a feature article.
Can I do like a, I have one guy who I've been wanting him to come to the MLS for so long now. Alex Mowat. He's
fucking do it, man.
West Brom. That dude can hammer a freaking ball from 30 yards out. And, just turned 29. His contract's up at end of June. Sign him up on a pre-contract, get him here in the summer. Like, that dude would just be awesome in the MLS. Not sure it'll happen, but that's like my one free agent that I'll say right now that would be awesome for any MLS team that's like looking for an English guy who is just like a really fun dude to watch.
All right, Mark, let's not be giving other MLS teams ideas on who to sign. Let's save that for the union. I think you and I know who to send that over to, but for now, Todd, any final thoughts here before we sign off? Obviously an unbelievably disappointing loss as I try to scrub through bots who tell me that they have a link in their bio and that their body parts are also available for me to see on their bios on some of my stuff. Any thoughts before we sign off here at 11:22 at night?
Yeah, dude, I've seen some comments. You talked about, you don't know if Joaquin Torres can be brought back. And I'm looking at this Charmander behind me, and you know, I just keep singing the Pokemon theme song in my head. So, you know, I'm sorry, Mark. I did not hear anything you said because I'm just singing Pokemon in my head. And I'm like, you know, this not just needs to end. Bring back the Pokemon guru, the Argentine Ash Ketchum, Joaquin Torres, and he'll save the day for the union.
What a disaster, man. And I guess before I sign off, I want to thank all, if this number is right, what an unbelievable number, 160 people who are watching right now. It's an unbelievable amount. We can't thank you enough. I'm going to go ahead and delve into Guillermo Almada's press conference, which surprisingly or not surprisingly lasted 15 minutes. I don't know what they would have asked him after shitting on the union 6-0 and now having to go against a team from,
I think they asked about Messi.
Yeah, maybe. Now he has to go against a team from either Costa Rica or Suriname, which I would go ahead and say that they're going to make it to the semifinal, Pachuca. And I'm a firm believer, firm believer that I hope the team that defeated me or defeated the team that I support or defeated the team that I cover goes ahead and wins the whole thing. So best of luck to Pachuca. I really do hope that after being trounced, throttled, getting our back broken, 6-0, that Pachuca goes ahead and does well the rest of the tournament, because they are genuinely class. I really do think that 0-0 keeping Rondon and Idrissi off of the score sheet at Subaru Park was a bit of an anomaly. But maybe it wasn't, and maybe Jim Curtin should have just played Nate Harrell at center back instead of bringing back in Damian Lowe. Who knows? You know, in a different universe, it all would have gone differently. But for now, Mark, people can find you at Kelkin Sport on Twitter or X. Mark, do you have any cool stuff coming up? Anything you want to plug as we sign off outside of the article you're going to write guiding people to our site to find out who the Union could sign as free agents?
Working on finishing up publishing a website. That way I can get more long-form writing out there. Yeah, that should be pretty good. I do have a very cool article I'm super excited about that is kind of the big one to kind of, to, you know, set the ship on its way. I won't say the topic, but I think a lot of people will be interested, especially people in my neck of the woods, not regionally, but more so content-wise. Continue to check out some of the college games coming up. And now that we're into all the pro leagues, be a lot of attending games. So I'll post my schedule for everyone who's viewing. If you're in those areas, I'm always excited to meet and talk to anybody about anything soccer related and anything that, I mean, they want to talk about. So yeah, keep an eye out for my schedule. I'll keep routinely posting stuff. Again, if you're in those areas, always down to meet up and chat and have beers and stuff. So
I can confirm that Mark will not kill you. He stayed at my house for 2.5 days, no issues whatsoever. Lived out of my basement, a very comfortable basement, may I add.
Yeah, awesome basement.
please make sure you follow Mark. Mark has done incredible work in terms of collegiate soccer as well as youth prospecting a little bit. Make sure you follow him at Kelkin Sport on Twitter/X. Todd, any plugs you want to do? I know you might be recording and I might be joining you tomorrow night to record something about this mess that we just witnessed about, I don't know, an hour and a half ago.
Well, it's already been an hour. That's crazy. How's Twitter doing? I haven't checked in a little bit.
My thing says like 35 notifications I haven't even tapped into them, because I know it's just people who are very, very angry. But Todd, what do you have coming up? Anything that you want to plug outside of us maybe connecting tomorrow evening?
I don't know, dude.
Friday press conference.
Yeah, I'm thinking about bed, waking up early tomorrow. But you can check out the website, thefreekick.substack.com, because, you know, everybody has a Substack now today, I feel like. Thanks, Jose.
Take it easy.
Hey. I was going to go someplace. I'm not going to go there. You can check me out on Twitter at It's a Todd's Life. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Or at Free Kick Pod, The Free Kick, wherever you get your podcasts. And I don't know, I think Jose and I are going to record a podcast sometime tomorrow. I don't think we're going to do Twitter spaces, because last time we did that, my power went out. So that's bad luck. So I'm honestly surprised that
powerism
went out here. So yeah, thanks for having me. And a late minute invite. I feel like now I have to go back. Hopefully this gets added to the RSS feed and I can catch the last 45, 50 minutes that you guys talk for. If not, then I'll just go on Twitter. I mean, yeah, Twitter, YouTube. I think you guys are live on Facebook. You guys are live everywhere. So thanks for thinking about me. I don't know. I don't have too much thought to say. My brain's turning off, but
no worries.
Yeah. Yeah.
No worries. What
a disappointing night.
What a disappointing night on my end at Jose R. Nunez 91. I also have a Substack. Feel free to find it. It's pinned on my bio. No link or body parts being shared with my bio, just a Substack. But for now, man, and men and women who are watching, what a disaster. What a debacle. How this team gets up after the loss will be very telling of what this team is made out of. Though, I think what really could have helped this team is an international break, which, of course, they don't get. So, a game against Austin this week, a game against Portland the following, and then back home on the 30th, Easter weekend, against Minnesota, I believe, on the 30th. So a very, very busy schedule for the Union. It doesn't stop. It keeps on rolling. Bodies will be coming. I should say bodies will be leaving. And the Union will have to figure out. And honestly, I'm really, really interested to see how Jim Curtin et al. Goes ahead and figures out what this roster looks like when you have four or five, even six people who are sure bet starters going away and representing their country, which obviously is telling of how good the Union are, but not on the night tonight. 6-0, worst ever loss by the Union, worst ever loss by an MLS team in CONCACAF. So with that, I think that we can go ahead and sign off. I look forward to covering. I should be able to take a look at Guillermo Almada's Pachuca's coach press conference here shortly. Some clips to come from that, though. Again, I wish them the best of luck the rest of the competition. I certainly will be taking a deeper look into Jim Curtin's press conference and sharing some more clips. But for now, we move. The Union will play against Austin once again this weekend, 8:30, I believe, Eastern time zone for everybody watching Apple TV. But for now, have a good evening, everybody. And thank you so much for tuning in with us for, I can't believe it, an hour and 21 minutes. Mike,
I can.
And Mike, yeah, you can. Mike, who is behind the scenes, let's make sure that we can export, if we can, we can figure it out, I'm sure, an audio version to post into the RSS feed for people to listen to. This is a point in history that I hope the Union never have to repeat, if not surpass, in the future. But for now, thank you, everybody. Have a great night. And 11:30 on, March 12th. We'll never forget this date. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.
All right. See you guys.